الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, our beloved Prophet Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Insha'Allah ta'ala, today we will continue and hopefully complete the explanation and translation of Surah Al-Infitar. We mentioned previously that these four chapters, Surah Takwir, Surah Infitar, Surah Mutaffifin, and Surah Al-Inshiqaq, all four of these surahs respectively deal with various different parts of the afterlife, from passing away up till the day of Qiyamah, reckoning and entry into Jannah and Jahannam respectively. And some Mufassireen have also pointed out that the pattern here is chronological, where the earlier of the four surahs deal with the earlier parts of the afterlife, whilst the later parts of the later surahs deal with the later parts of the afterlife. And so we continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing the disbeliever, says, كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. No, rather you deny the day of the requital. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ. And indeed upon you are observing angels. Likewise, this is a reference to the angels that are sitting on our shoulders and they are observing us and writing down everything that we do. This has been established from other parts of the Quran as well. For example, in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. That when the receiving angels receive, they are seated on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. Likewise, in one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they think that we cannot hear their secrets and their whispers? بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Rather not. Whilst our messengers are in front of them writing. So the existence of angels on our shoulders writing down all of our good deeds and bad deeds has been established from various different verses within the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to describe them. Kiraman katibin. They are noble angels, katibin, writing. Ya'lamuna, مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know that which you are doing. Over here, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu, mentions that very subtle point that they are noble, so we should respect their nobility. And inshallah, as the chapter goes on, we will discuss and explain what does it mean by respecting their nobility. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَكْرِمُ الْكِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُفَارِقُونَكُمْ إِلَّا إِنْدَ إِحْدَى حَالَتَيْنَ. That respect and honor of the katibin, the writers, they are the ones that do not separate from you except during two times. Al-janaba wal-ghait. When a person, he is in a state of uncleanliness, and when he is relieving himself, فَإِذَا اغْتَسَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ بِحَرَمِ حَائِطٍ أَوْ بِبَعِيرِهِ أَوْ لِيَسْتُرْهُ أَخُوهُ. So, when one of you is having bathing himself or having a bath, he should cover himself with the wall or his camel, or he should get someone to shelter him and cover him up. Again, with regards to this, we will have more discussion about this as well. In one hadith, is mentioned with regards to the writing of the angels on the authority of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels, they go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they come down and they go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala successively, one after the other. So it says that what happens is the angels of the day, they go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَرَى فِي أَوَّلِ الصَّحِيفَةِ وَفِي آخِرِهَا. So he sees that what is in the beginning of the book for that day and the end of it, istighfar. So he sees that there is istighfar, meaning a person, he started his day with istighfar and he ended his day with istighfar. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say upon this? قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي مَا بَيْنَ طَرَفَيِ الصَّحِيفَةِ. I have forgiven everything that is in between the two ends of this book for the day. So the indication here is if a person, he begins his day with istighfar and he ends his day with istighfar, inshallah through the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will be forgiven for everything in between. Generally, these ahadith, they indicate upon the forgiveness of minor sins. Yeah. So many, many ahadith we have that, you know, for example, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma. And when hadith is mentioned that one umrah to another umrah, they forgive, they expiate the sins in between. So generally, all of these ahadith that contain virtues of forgiveness of mass sins, they are related to minor sins. As for major sins, it's necessary. We've discussed the three conditions of istighfar and tawbah to be accepted. A person has to, first of all, seek forgiveness from Allah individually for each of them sins. Number two, he has to be sincere and he has to have an intention to never commit that sin again. And thirdly, he should never commit that sin again, and he should feel nadama, he should feel regret upon that sin. Not that, oh, you know, today I'm going to ask forgiveness, tomorrow I've got plans anyway, again, so I'll just ask forgiveness again. Yeah. So these are conditions. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to always perform istighfar in the morning and in the evenings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Now what happens is the angels that are sitting on our shoulders, they write everything down. All of these writings will be collated, and on the day of Qiyamah they will be inspected. And after that, what will happen? What will happen is discussed in the next few verses. Inshallah, when we get to that point, we'll discuss over there. Now there are a few discussions here. One discussion, one question comes to us is, how many angels are there with us? So in one tafsir, Allama Alusi rahimullah writes that the two angels, the Kiram and Katibin, they are not included in the group of protective angels that Allah has appointed for our protection. This is mentioned in a verse in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِن خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِّنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Meaning that for every person, there are angels that follow one another. Meaning they go and others come. Then they go back up and others follow them. Yeah, they are appointed, they follow each other. مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. In front of him and behind him. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They protect him through the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse establishes the fact that every person has protective angels with him. Allah has appointed angels to protect us. So how many angels are these? Some, in one narration it's mentioned there are 20 angels that protect us at all times. Some narrations say that there are 5, whilst other narrations say that there are up to 400 protective angels appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the next discussion, we mentioned that Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib mentioned about respecting the nobility of the angels. So under this he writes that especially now, we have, you know, in the summer months, what tends to happen is it's hot, we go out, and you know, we're feeling hot, so we want to dress light. But in the process of dressing lightly, we end up uncovering part of our satr. Satr is the part that we are supposed to cover at all times. For a man, it's from the navel, including the knees. So often what happens is we wear some shorts, and you know, our kneecaps, or sometimes even thighs, will be exposed. This is not allowed in Islam. A person will be sinful for doing this. Also, on the other hand, our sisters, mothers should also be very careful. For the sisters, their satr is the entire body, including the hair, except for the face and the hands and the feet. Yeah, and according to some, even the feet should be covered. So, this is niqab, covering the face is also wajib. This is separate, but it's first for a woman to cover her entire body, including the hair as well. So even our sisters, we should be extremely careful when going out. Even when in the house, men, we shouldn't expose our satr to our children. And likewise, our mothers and sisters, we should also dress modestly in front of the family members around the house, especially in front of the male family members. If you know, the mother's not dressing appropriately in front of the young son, then it will have a negative effect on his spirituality as well. So we should be very extremely careful in these regards. Now, another next discussion is, one question here arises that the Kiram and Katibin, the two angels that are writing our actions. So one question is, do they write the actions of the disbelievers or not? So there are two opinions with regards to this. The first opinion is that their actions are not written because their actions are like invalid anyway, because they don't have Islam, they don't have Iman. So regardless of what they do, whether they do good or they do bad, there's going to be no accounting, because they're going to go to Jahannam unless they bring Iman, and then it'll stop. The writing of the good and the bad, then it gets weighed, etc. A person who is going to Jahannam, then there's no point writing that, because he doesn't even have Iman to begin with. However, the preferred opinion is that no, even their actions are written, both of the good actions and bad actions. This is based on this very chapter that we are doing at the moment, that in the beginning Allah said, Ya ayyuhal insan, O mankind. And over here some of the mufassireen have explained that basically Ya ayyuhal insan means O mankind is generic. It's not specific to Muslims. Yeah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to address, saying, Wa inna alaykum lahafidin kiram and katibin alaykum, meaning that you have the angels appointed over you, they are writing your deeds. And so there's no specification of the Muslims only in this regard. Likewise, some mufassirin have said that Ya ayyuhal insan specifically is targeting certain disbelievers. So based on this, it seems to be established that even the disbelievers, their actions will be written down as well. Another question then arises naturally is, okay, let's accept that the disbelievers, their actions are also written down. So all their actions, none of them will be written in the good book, right? Because they're not Muslims, so they'll have nothing in their good account. So what's the point of the angel on the right shoulder? Because he has no work to do. So the answer is that no, actually he does have work to do. His first job is that he's actually the leader of the two. And we'll go into more detail now regarding this. So when the angel on the left is going to write down anything in the bad book, he has to actually take permission from the angel on the right shoulder, number one. Number two, on the day of Qiyamah, when the book is given to the disbelievers from the back in the left hand, if they try to deny that, no, this is not true, then the angels, both of them, will be brought as witnesses. Just like in the world, you know, you'll have someone accused of whatever crime. They have different kinds of evidence. They'll have CCTV. They'll have part of the different kinds of witnesses. Witnesses will come forward and say, yeah, I saw him do this. I saw him do this. He did this to me. He did this to my brother, etc. So likewise, the angels will be brought forward as witnesses. Right, so just now we mentioned that the angel on the left side who writes the bad deeds, he has to take permission from the angel on the right. What is the system? And that's another discussion. What is the system? How does it work when it comes to the angels writing good deeds and bad deeds? So first of all, we start with the angel on the right shoulder. The angel on the right shoulder, his job is this. That when a person makes an intention that I am going to perform this good deed, before he even does it, just on his intention, one good deed will be written down. So the next question is, how does he know, the angel, know that I've intended that's within my heart? So it's mentioned that some Mufassirin have said that when a person makes an intention for a good deed, a beautiful smell of musk comes from him. So the angel realizes that this guy's made an intention for a good deed, so he writes down the reward for the intention. After that, if the person does the good deed, he will be given reward for that minimum times by 10. Minimum times by 10. Why? Because Allah said, "Man jaa bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha." Whoever brings one good deed, he'll get 10 times the reward. So minimum of 10. And then after that, based on how sincere he was in his action, this one deed can be multiplied 700 times. Subhanallah al-Azim. Yeah? Then a person, he makes an intention to do a bad deed. So the angel on the left, he will not write anything. Why? Because he's not done it yet. After that, if the person was to commit that bad deed, the angel on the left, he asks permission from the angel on the right. Shall I write it down? So the angel on the right says, no, wait. He might make istighfar, he might do tawbah. So then the angel waits, he asks again, and then he asks again. After 3 times, if he's not done tawbah, then the angel says, okay, write down one bad deed. Yeah? Subhanallah. So when a person does good, he gets rewarded for the intention, and he gets rewarded for the deed, and it's immediately multiplied. When a person does bad deed, he doesn't get a sin for the intention, he gets a sin for actually doing the bad deed, and even that will just be one after getting so many chances to make tawbah. So in one hadith it's mentioned, وَلَا يَحْلِكُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا حَالِكٌ أَوْ قَالَ إِلَّا حَلَّاكٌ. That truly, after considering such a great offer, yeah, only a person who is truly deserving of destruction will be destroyed and come to loss in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like a thought comes to mind of an example that, for example, if a teacher, an exam going to take place, and the teacher gives the questions and he gives all the answers as well. And on top of that, he says, for every right answer, I'll give you 10 rewards. And every wrong answer, I'll minus 1 mark. And a person still fails. It's like, bro, you deserve to fail. Yeah? So, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such an amazing offer over here, like that. And then the ulama mentioned that some scholars and some pious people of the past, they made such an effort to ensure that the angel on the left, he becomes bored. Because they just don't commit any sins, so he's just sat there doing nothing like that. So we should also try to have this in mind. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, now, the books of deeds, they will be written throughout our lives. When we pass away, they're closed. The good deeds are taken, we mentioned in Wailul Mutaffifin, they are taken to the highest stage in Jannah. The bad books are taken to the lower stage of Jahannam. On the day of Qiyamah, they will be brought forward, given to the people in the right hand, given to the people in the left hand. Now what happens? The people of the good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the good people will be in bliss. What does he mean by abrar? There are many opinions here. One opinion is the person, he always stays busy in doing good deeds. He is abrar. Next, a person, he looked after his parents, he respected them, he obeyed them, he kept them happy. At the same time, he had mercy and he took care of his children at the same time. This is abrar. Another, Imam Baghawi rahimullah writes, that a person, he fulfilled his fara'id and he stayed away from all sins. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَهِيمٍ. So the good person, the righteous person, he'll be in Jannah. In Jahannam, the sinner, and the sinner will be in hell. Who is this fujar? It is the plural of fajir. And it's a person, in one opinion, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Number two, a person who, along with disobeying Allah, he didn't fulfill the right of the people around him. Yeah, there's two things, hukukullah and hukukul ibad. Hukukul ibad is like your wife has a right over you, your parents have a right over you, your children have a right over you, your neighbor has a right over you. All of these things, these are hukukul ibad, and we have to fulfill these rights as well. In one, according to one tafsir, it's mentioned that fujar over here relates only to the disbelievers. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. On the day of the requital, on the day of Qiyamah, they will enter into Jahannam. وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. On that day, the disbelievers will not be able to get away from it. غَائِب means like a person who's absent. So he will not be able to ever be absent from Jahannam. What does he mean by this? In one opinion, it's mentioned that it means he will never ever leave Jahannam for a single moment. Once he enters, he'll be there forever and ever and ever. This is based on the hadith, on the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. He will intend to come out of Jahannam, and he is not going to come out of Jahannam. For him is the punishment that is going to stay. Muqeem, muqeem means a person, a resident, he stays in a place. So that punishment is going to stay with him forever. May Allah protect us. Another opinion is that from the moment a person passes away, the punishment will begin and it will not stop all the way until he enters Jahannam. It's not like before he gets to Jahannam, he'll have moments of respite. The process of death itself for a bad person will be a very excruciating and painful experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a bad death and bless us with husnul khatima, a good ending. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And what will make you understand what the day of the requital is? ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. Then what will make you understand what the day of the requital is? This repetition is for emphasis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then explains, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلَّهِ. On that day, nobody will be able to help anybody in the least. وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلَّهِ. On that day, all command, all authority will belong to Allah and Allah alone. So just as we finish there, one question comes here, that what about intercession? It says, لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Nobody will be able to help anybody. So we mentioned so many times in the past that what about intercession? Where a person, you know, he'll be able to intercede. For example, a hafiz of the Quran will be able to intercede and take people away from Jahannam. So he's helping other people. Likewise, the Quran will intercede on behalf of the person who prayed for it. Good people will intercede for bad people, etc., etc. So there's two answers to this. One answer is that he says, وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلَّهِ. The command will be for Allah alone. So what this means is that the only intercession that will be allowed will be the ones approved by Allah. If anyone tries to intercede outside of that, they will not be able to do so. Yeah? So these are all the types of intercessions that have been validated. that have been passed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already. Other mufassirin have said that, no, what this talking about is the early portion of Qiyamah, where, and we indicated towards it last week, where at the beginning of the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so angry, nobody will have the audacity or the guts to go and say anything in front of Allah. And what will happen is, we mentioned that the people then all go to Adam alayhi salam. And what are they trying to do here? They go to Adam alayhi salam to say, you know, oh Adam, you are the first person to be created. You are our father. You are the father of humanity. Allah created you with his own hands. You know, go to Allah and ask him to begin the accounting. So it'll just be a long period of waiting. It'll be hot. The sun will be all over our heads. And people will just be asking that, let's get this thing started because we're tired of waiting. And Adam alayhi salam will say that, oh, today Allah is so angry. I've never seen Allah this angry before. And today now I'm remembering when I Adam Rabbahu Fagawa. Yeah, that I'm now remembering the time when I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I ate from the forbidden tree. So I'm remembering that now, and I can't go to Allah. I'm keep remembering that. Likewise, Nuh alayhi salam will be approached and he will say that I've never seen Allah this angry before. And you know, Allah I had a bit of a thing with Allah when my son, he was being destroyed by the flood, and I said to Allah that, ya Allah, you said to me that your family is going to be saved and he's from my family. So Allah reprimanded me in the 12th juz of the Holy Quran, in the first quarter towards the end, وَأُوْهِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوْهِنِ. It's a story about two sides long. It's very amazing, powerful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimands Nuh alayhi salam and says that إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, that he's not from your family. And ya la tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi, oh Nuh, don't question me with regarding things that you don't know about. Yeah, so straight away Nuh alayhi salam, you know, so Nuh alayhi salam saying that today I'm remembering this conversation and I'm very scared. And idhabu ila ghayri, go to somebody besides me. And then they'll be approaching Ibrahim alayhi salam, and likewise they'll go to different anbiya alayhi salam, and they'll give different excuses until Isa alayhi salam will say, idhabu ila ghayri, idhabu ila Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, go to someone besides me, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And oh, today our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is his moment. He is Sayyidul Bashar. He is the Imam of all of us, the best of all creation. He will stand up and he will go in front of Allah and he will go into sujood and he will praise Allah with words that Allah will inspire him at that moment. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that even I don't know what those words will be, but at that time Allah will put it into my heart. I will praise Allah. And as I praise Allah, the anger of Allah will cool. Yeah? And then Allah will say that, قُمْ يَا مُحَمَّدُ وَسَلْ تُعْطَعْ وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ, that stand, O Muhammad, and ask, you will be given, and intercede, your intercession will be accepted. And this is what is known as Shafa'atul Kubra, it's known as Maqam-e Mahmood, this position that was exclusively reserved for the greatest of all creation, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So until that point is saying that لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا, nobody will be able to help anybody else. So there's a difference of opinion. But the reality is that today we have the opportunity to prepare for that day. Let's prepare. You know, these four surahs talk about the day of Qiyamah in great detail. And we should, you know, study and look into these verses. It will really inspire us to do good and stay away from committing sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do good deeds and to do those things that Allah will be happy with and pleased with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the knowledge of the Holy Quran, with the love of the Holy Quran, and the tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran through our days and through our nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true lovers of the Holy Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with his friendship, his wilaya, his recognition, his ma'rifah, and to make us from his close ones, and to bless us with proximity to to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ameen. Hayyakallah.